Today, our study comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31, where we will focus our thoughts on Christian stewardship and our spiritual gifts and talents. This will conclude our study on Christian stewardship. Now, to appreciate something about this study, we need to be reminded that a steward in biblical times did not own the things that he was responsible for. He was something of a manager who was entrusted to faithfully use or manage things for someone else. His job involved faithfulness and wisdom. He was responsible for bringing advantage or profit to his employer. Now, as Christian stewards, we are responsible to faithfully use, and with wisdom, those things that God has provided us, such as time, our bodies, and the spiritual gifts and talents that he has given. These things are not rightly ours to use selfishly and sinfully. They belong to him. These are gifts that he has given so that we can use them for his glory and for the building up of fellow believers. To learn more about your spiritual gifts and Christian stewardship, we invite you to join with us for today's study. This morning, I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and there I'd like to read from the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 31. Once again, we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31. Today, we conclude our study on Christian stewardship as we focus our thoughts on the stewardship of our spiritual gifts and talents. Now, first of all, let me simply say that this is not going to be a detailed or in-depth study on the nature and function of spiritual gifts, but rather we're going to take a general look at the theology of spiritual gifts in light of our practicing faithful Christian stewardship. And this leads us to our second point, and that is, I want us to be able to learn to recognize the various talents and spiritual abilities that God has given to us and develop a desire to surrender them to God for his sacred use and glory. Now, with that in mind, read with me from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31. By inspiration, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works through all of these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow great honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Helps. Administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have spiritual gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. To use an old worn-out cliché, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to recognize the fact that God has created man with a variety of talents and natural abilities. In fact, when it comes to mankind in general, there exists a tremendous diversity regarding these natural talents. It's a wonderful thing that we're not all created with these same natural abilities and spiritual gifts. But the point is, the same principle is carried over into the local body of Christ. The church is made up of individuals who all possess different spiritual gifts and natural abilities. And as a result, every believer should dedicate what God has given to them to his use. In fact, this is one of the major underlying principles that Paul develops in this 12th chapter regarding spiritual gifts. That is, unity within diversity, or unity of diversity within one body. Now, in this particular chapter, Paul speaks of the church as the body of Christ, with Christ as its head. And the idea is that just as a body has many different specialized parts, that is, each one having its own significant function that it contributes to the body with, so the church is composed of many individuals, each one with his own special function to perform and contribution to make to the rest of the body. You see, every believer, and I want you to underscore this in your thinking, every believer possesses both natural gifts as well as spiritual gifts. Now, everyone has natural gifts or talents. God gives these to everyone, and this is true for both believers and unbelievers alike. However, spiritual gifts are unique and special abilities that are given to believers by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. These spiritual gifts are designed to enable Christians to minister to one another in behalf of Christ. One writer indicates that a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve the body of Christ wherever and however he may direct. Spiritual gifts are directly related to God-given abilities, and they are to be used for service, for the sake of others, for the sake and health of the church, the body of Christ. Now, this time, we're going to begin by looking in general at natural gifts. Up to this point, we have necessarily distinguished between natural gifts and spiritual gifts. The reason being, as already noted, they're not the same, yet both can be used effectively and productively in the service of the Lord. There are some key differences. One writer indicates that when it comes to natural gifts, first of all, they are given by God through our parents, hence the idea of natural. Apparently, they are given at birth, and they are given to benefit mankind in general. He goes on to say that when it comes to spiritual gifts, these gifts are given by God, independent of our parents. And evidently, they are given by the Holy Spirit at conversion. And finally, they are given for the benefit of the body of Christ in particular. Now, the same writer goes on to say that a natural talent may or may not serve the body of Christ. Yet, in contrast, the design of the spiritual gift is for the service of the body. For example, someone may have the gift of music. That is, they possess musical abilities. This is an example of natural ability, and it may be used for the glory of the Lord in His service, or it may not. And secondly, it may be used in conjunction with the administration of a spiritual gift, or it may not. But the point is that music is a natural ability. It is not a spiritual gift. It might be used in the service of the Lord. It might not. Now here, it would be wise for all Christians to take the time to take an inventory list, at this point, of all the natural abilities or talents that God has given to them. And this may also include acquired abilities, such as cooking, learning a second language, driving, sewing, playing a musical instrument. These areas can be used in serving the Lord, helping to meet the needs of others. Or they can be used as a channel to exercise spiritual gifts. Now, that is not to say that spiritual gifts cannot be ministered directly. Of course they can. But sometimes they could be ministered indirectly through the use of other gifts and talents. But again, the point is that we should learn to use our natural abilities in the service of the Lord as well as our spiritual gifts. Now, secondly, when it comes to spiritual gifts, one writer says that at the moment of your salvation, you were gifted by the Holy Spirit to minister within the body of Christ. Each spiritual gift is crucial to the overall health of the body. That's why we must be faithful to serve one another. When we do not serve each other, the body of Christ becomes crippled and its testimony to the world is hindered. But a healthy church will present a strong testimony as the world observes our unity in the spirit of diversity of gifts, as well as mutual ministries. Now, regarding this particular statement, there are several key points that I want us to note. First of all believers have at least one spiritual gift. Secondly, spiritual gifts are directly related to ministry or service. That is, they are to be used to meet the needs of others, the advancement of the needs of the body of Jesus Christ. They are not to be used for self or with selfish objectives. Thirdly, the ministry of spiritual gifts is absolutely crucial to the overall health of the body. Fourth, without the ministry of spiritual gifts, the church will become spiritually unhealthy, and the church's testimony will be severely hampered. And then finally, a strong usage of spiritual gifts focuses on the unity of the Spirit, the diversity of gifts, and mutual ministries. Now, there are three major passages that deal with spiritual gifts, although some list four. First of all, there is Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Secondly, there is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31, the passage that we have read today. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 16. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Now, there have been different attempts to list or to categorize these spiritual gifts. I have particularly found this approach helpful, where there are two major types listed. Although this list is not exclusive, but here are some of the following based upon one resource. First of all, noting permanent edifying gifts. These gifts were given for the ongoing edification of the church, and they have been described in this particular way. First of all, there is prophecy. That is the ability to preach or proclaim God's truth to others for edification, exhortation, and consolation. Secondly, there is teaching. This is the ability to teach the truths of God's Word. Third, there is faith. This has been defined as the ability to trust God without doubts or disturbance, regardless of one's circumstances. Fourth is wisdom. This is the ability to apply spiritual truth to life. Fifth, there is knowledge. This is the ability to understand facts, such as the academic side of biblical truth. Six, there is discernment. This is the ability to distinguish truth from error, to discern what is of God and what is satanic in its origin and deception. Seventh, there is mercy. This is the ability to manifest Christ's love in acts of kindness. Eighth, exhortation. This is the ability to encourage, counsel, and comfort others with biblical truth and Christian love. Ninth is giving. This is the ability to provide for others who cannot meet their own needs. It flows from a decision to commit all earthly possessions to the Lord and to His work. Tenth is administration. This is also known as the gift of ruling or government. It refers to abilities to oversee the church in an orderly fashion. It also includes teaching, instruction, and discipline. 11th is ministry or helps. This refers to the ability to serve faithfully behind the scenes, assisting the work of the ministry in very practical ways. Now, the second major division is temporary sign gifts. One writer refers to these gifts as the fact that they were used for the apostolic era to authenticate divine revelation and the messenger through whom it came. When the apostles and prophets passed away, so did the need for such confirmation. The Bible itself became the standard by which all supposed revelation would be tested. The sign gifts were never intended for the ongoing edification of the church. Now, these include such things as miracles. This has been defined as the ability to perform signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Now here, let me simply say that I still believe in miracles, but not the gift of miracles that comes through an individual. I believe that when God works an act of what we call miracles, that He works directly Himself. Secondly, there is healing, and this refers to the ability of healing the sick. Thirdly, tongues. This has been described as the ability to declare the wonderful works of God in a known foreign language that the speaker has never learned. It served as a sign to unbelievers, especially unbelieving Jewish people. Fourth, the interpretation of tongues. This is the ability to translate the foreign language spoken by the person with the gift of tongues so that all those who heard would be able to understand and be edified. Now, as I mentioned, there are other spiritual gifts that are listed in other portions of Scripture. But the emphasis is that spiritual gifts are keyed to ministry to help meet the needs of one another, or more specifically, to edify, that is, to build up one another in the faith and in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one writer makes this observation. He says that when Paul describes the nature and use of spiritual gifts, such as in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, he reveals that they are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. This is seen in verse 7. And connected to this is the idea that the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts according to His sovereign will. And this is seen in verse 11. And He does so for the benefit of the congregation. This means, first of all, that these gifts are not arbitrarily selected by people. Secondly, it means that this is not given for self-exaltation. And then finally, it means that these gifts are not given for self-edification. All spiritual gifts are for our ministering to others in the building up of the church, both quantitatively and qualitatively. Now, in emphasizing the stewardship of our gifts, I find it interesting to note there are no commands in Scripture to discover one's spiritual gift. Yet, we are all commanded to use our gifts. No text says we must know what gifts we have before we can expect to serve with these gifts. So how do we, or how can we know what our gifts are? Well, first of all, at salvation, we receive these gifts. Some may be revealed practically immediately. Others may begin to be manifested at a later time. Secondly, generally, it is through sincere service and obedience that the Lord begins to reveal what our particular strengths are when it comes to these gifts. Ways to help understand what our gifts may be include, first of all, examining, as one writer says, the total package of gifts in your life. This includes natural talents, acquired abilities, and spiritual gifts. And knowing these spiritual gifts biblically go a long way in helping to discern what type of gift or gifts God may have given us. Secondly, take opportunities to help prepare yourself. Sharpen the talents that you already know that you possess, the skills that you have acquired. Begin to use them in the service of the Lord. And then work on development or understanding of the spiritual gifts that you may possess. For example, you may have a desire and a gift when it comes to teaching. If so, then you need to begin to study seriously and to study hard. You may begin to suspect that you might have the gift of giving. If so, work hard being good stewards in all areas of your life, coupled with a genuine desire to use these funds that you get for the sake of the church and for others who might be in need. Thirdly, be active in working for the Lord in His service. Again, this is a generalized place where gifts can be discovered as well as developed. They are developed through activity. One writer says that practice brings perception of one's total package of abilities, and practice develops these abilities. If seeking to discern your gift, don't turn down opportunities to serve, even if you think that does not fall in your range of abilities. God may be trying to tell you that you have abilities you haven't recognized yet. So actively working may bring to light additional gifts, or it may help you fine-tune what spiritual gifts that God has given to you. Now just keep in mind that we are commanded to minister in many areas, whether or not we think that we may have a gift in that particular area. Now that doesn't mean that that's going to be our major contribution, but we must be open to whatever and however the Lord gives us opportunity to serve. For example, we may have the spiritual gift of ministering, but yet at the same time, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, we are all to serve one another. We may have the spiritual gift of exhortation, but yet according to Scripture, we are all to exhort one another. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 3. We may have the spiritual gift of giving, and yet again, we are all to give in some capacity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. We may have the gift of teaching, but yet we all have at least something to teach everybody. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. We may have the spiritual gift of showing mercy, but yet all of us are to be kind and merciful to each other. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. We may have the spiritual gift of faith, and yet all believers are to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Someone may have the gift of evangelism, but all believers are called to be a witness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now finally, we are to be willing to do anything for God. Don't limit yourself. Don't be afraid to think outside of the box or to minister outside of the box. One of the most important principles that we can develop in our life is an open willingness to do whatever we can in the service of the Lord if the Lord provides that opportunity for us. That goes a long way in helping to discover and develop our gifts as well as filling in the gap at times when it comes to helping meeting needs. Now, the passage on gifts in Ephesians chapter 4 begins with an exhortation to a worthy life and a humble walk. This is seen in verses 1 and 2. In a discussion on gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is preceded in this letter by several exhortations to dedication. The passage in Romans chapter 12 begins with that great call to dedication of life, in verses 1 and 2. One who is not dedicated will never discover all the abilities God has given him, nor will he fully develop those which he does discover. So, in closing, realize that you have at least one spiritual gift. Commit to discover that gift or gifts by prayer and by general practice of serving the Lord. Then commit to develop those gifts that God reveals to you. Take spiritual responsibility in using them. Be aware that you are accountable to God for the stewardship of your spiritual gifts. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.